Logistics announcement. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to V. Mendoza at workforcehs.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations noticed. Reminder, as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School's website. Moving to opening items, I will call this meeting of the San Diego Workforce Innovation High School, operated by Western Educational Corporation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Monday, September 21st, 2020, to order. And we will call roll. Michael Adams is here. Claudette Beck.
Here.
Frank Lucasa.
Here.
We are all present and accounted for and do have a quorum. Moving on to the Pledge of Allegiance. Claudette, will you please lead us in the pledge? And all others, please place your phones on mute.
Oh, thank you, and please place your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Claudette. And staff reductions. Corporate officers.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you.
Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer. Thank you.
Thank you. And school staff.
Lindsay Reese, Area Superintendent.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Heather Barnhart, Principal.
Thank you, Heather.
Amanda Clark, Principal.
Thank you, Amanda.
Kevin Ogden as the liaison to the Charter Authorizer.
Thank you, Kevin.
And Jeff Martin, our Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you, Jeff. And moving on to School Legal Counsel.
Yes, Bill Thompson, attorney for the school.
And Greg Bordeaux.
Thank you, Greg. And advisors who are supporting agenda items who are presenting.
Hello, everyone. This is Geeta Sharifi, a CFO with LLAC.
Thank you, Geeta. Anyone else? And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we will move on to item E. May I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the September 21st, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item F. May I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the August 24th, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have 2 items on the consent agenda. Number 1, the board will be asked to approve revisions to the 2020-2021 Parent Student Handbook, adding a new section on academic integrity and plagiarism. Item 2, the board will be asked to approve the updated Special Education Master Plan. Are there any board members who would like a consent agenda item removed for separate discussion at this time? Hearing none, may your consent agenda items 1 and 2.
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to approve item 2, 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Public comment, item 3. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in prior to the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted for a presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comments will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments presented prior to the board meeting?
Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza reporting that no public comments were received via the email provided on the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, area superintendent update, and that's Lindsay Reese.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Since our last board meeting, we have enrolled 150 new students. The team is ironing out the process for doing virtual enrollments. The process is somewhat time-consuming, so this is phenomenal that this many students have been enrolled in the last month. We are working on rolling out a simplified enrollment process that can be completed on mobile devices. As of learning period 3, 89.7% of students were engaged during learning period 2, which is outstanding. Engagement continues to increase as we continue to distribute laptops, hotspots, and as students and staff become more comfortable with online learning. We are finding success engaging students through social media. Many of these students were not reachable previously via telephone or text, so this is yet another way to re-engage students. And amazingly, we have had 105 students graduate since July 1st. So our students are still making progress and still meeting their graduation goals. Several schools within San Diego workforce continue to offer virtual SGI or small group instruction classes in mathematics, economics, world history, and culinary arts is in the works. San Diego County is off the watch list for right now. However, it's a moving target. As of last Friday, we were not eligible to reopen, but we got new communication today that we can. Either way, I'm working with our HR and safety team, and our tentative reopening date now is October 27th, 2020. And if anything changes, I'll let you know. As usual, I'm monitoring local public health guidance closely and making decisions based on those recommendations. Please note also that Riverside is still on the watch list and will not be reopening anytime soon. I'm pleased to share with the board that Innovation High School just completed a WASC full self-study visit. WASC accreditation is an ongoing 6-year cycle whereby the school demonstrates the capacity, commitment, and competence to support high-quality student learning and ongoing school improvement. The visit was conducted virtually and was a huge success. I sat in on many of the meetings, including the parent and student meetings. Parents told the WASC team the following. This is just a small summary, but I had to share the good news with you. They feel very pleased with the level of school-to-home communication. They feel like our staff genuinely cares for their children as individuals. They appreciated our flexible scheduling and personalized learning plans. Most parents found out about our program through word of mouth and wish they had found out about us sooner. They feel that we need to advertise more, so we're looking into how we can get the word out so that it's not only word of mouth, but so that other students are hearing about our program. One mom became emotional when she shared how her son was struggling at a traditional school because he had a hard time focusing and sitting still for so many hours per day. So mom transferred the student during his junior year. She said that his teacher, Miss Hudson, was a huge blessing in their lives and that her genuine care and attention for her child helped him focus and recommit to his education. And I am very happy to report that this student just graduated on August 28th of this school year. Another mom of a student with Asperger's said this program was a perfect fit for her son and wishes she could have found it sooner. She said she was floundering his entire education until he came to our Escondido location. And even though it took him a bit to get into the groove, mom was happy to report that her son is making steady progress. She appreciates that we don't kick students out when they age out of the system, in other words, when they turn 18, and then instead we let students continue to work towards their graduation diploma even after the age of 18. And the parents were overwhelmingly positive in their feedback. I also got feedback from students who, again, overwhelmingly positive feedback. One student said she went to school in Arizona and they just passed them along regardless if they were performing. And she said that her teacher, Mrs. Buchan in Chula Vista, really cares about her personally and pushes her to do her best. Two students raved about their teacher, Mrs. Jardine. They said she has been the only person to care about them. She puts their needs before their own. Before her own. She's never acted bothered when they've reached out for support and how they want to be better because they know how much she loves them. And they even reported that Mr. Jardine sometimes is up in the middle of the night helping students meet their goals, which shows that level of commitment. Overall, the visiting committee was very complimentary about our program. Here are some of the strengths recognized by the committee. Our mission, vision, and purpose statements clearly align with the instructional and intervention programs provided for students. Sandwiches is commended for the professionalism, passion for education, and level of commitment to all students exhibited by administrators, teachers, and support staff. San Diego Workforce exposes students to multiple career readiness and post-secondary opportunities through curriculum based on Common Core State Standards, Next Generation Science Standards, and UC, CSU, A-G approved courses, job shadowing, career fairs, seminars, and college field trips, as well as CTE pathways, career-focused electives, and college counseling support. Sandwiches is commended for the professionalism, passion for education, and level of commitment to all students exhibited by... some recommendations include... Some recommendations include the following. The governing board and administration should implement additional policies and practices to increase the involvement of all stakeholders in the process of governance and decision-making, including the Parent Advisory Committee, School Site Council, English Language Advisory Committee, and District LCAP, otherwise known as the Learning Continuity and Attendance Plan. Administration should increase time for and training in data analysis for all staff and develop additional means by which the data can be shared with stakeholders to drive school improvement measures. Administrators, counselors, and teachers at San Diego Workforce should continue to improve follow-through in sharing student data with stakeholders and expanding partnership practices with students and their families to strengthen the support systems in place for student success. And lastly, the administration should work to standardize the processes for collecting and analyzing data across all sites to establish consistent protocols for sharing and utilizing data to drive school improvement and impact student learning. As I mentioned before, overall, it was a very positive process, and the staff said they felt very encouraged and validated by the feedback from this committee. We will find out what term of accreditation is recommended after the WASC Commission reviews the visiting committee's report in January. Based on the visiting team's overwhelmingly positive feedback, I am hopeful we will be recommended for a six-year accreditation term. I would also like to thank our board president, Michael Adams, for meeting with the WASC visiting committee last week to explain the role of the board in assisting San Diego Workforce Innovation High School in achieving their mission. And last, for my superintendent update, I'd like to share a student success story. This is going to be a regular feature each board meeting, just to share all the wins and positive stories that happen every single day to our students. So this story is about Clarissa, and this was shared by her teacher, Mrs. Watson. Clarissa first came to Innovation High School for summer school, but quickly realized that our program was great for her educational journey. School became a safe place, a way to escape from all the things going on at home. It was a slow and steady process for Clarissa, but once we moved to distance learning, she began to shine. She knew we were still having a graduation ceremony and made a goal to walk at our drive-through August ceremony. Walk is in parentheses because there wasn't really any walking going on. They were driving through in a parade. When the 2021 school year began, Clarissa was more determined than ever, putting in a couple of hours of school time before work and again after work. She has shown so much growth as a young adult while at Innovation High School, and I look forward to seeing what she accomplishes next. And this is a quote from Clarissa. She said, school was the only safe place I knew for a long time. I am proud of graduating, but afraid of leaving what I considered my home. And that's it for my update. Are there any questions?
No, but I just wanted to say, I think it's really nice to hear from the parents and what they're having to say, you know, about helping their kids and stuff like that. And it is always nice to get some type of an update on some of the kids that, you know, we're helping. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, Claudette.
Hi, Lindsay. This is Frank. Just a quick question. First of all, it's great to hear that the graduation rates are still very strong. That's very positive to hear. As far as the challenges with remote learning, have there been any technological challenges that you guys experience with students as they go about remote learning?
It's a great question, Frank. I mean, I think in the beginning there was definitely a lot more challenges. Just the simplest things, from kids remembering their passwords. You know, we would tell them over and over again and help them reset it, and then they'd misplace it. So simple stuff like that, too. It's just not knowing where to navigate in an online platform. The biggest issue early on was not having access to hotspots, and that was not for lack of trying. It's just you couldn't get them anywhere. They were out of stock and in high demand. But I'm happy to report we have plenty of hotspots now, so any student that needs access to Wi-Fi has it. We started doing very short in-person meetings for students who are still not able to access work remotely, where they could troubleshoot with a teacher or tutor. Not to do instruction in person, but to figure out how to log on to their portal or how to get into Google Classrooms. Because sometimes it's really hard to explain that stuff over the phone. So that got most kids pretty well functioning. And then if they're really just, we have some kids who are out in rural areas where it doesn't matter if we provide hotspots or not, they just don't have access. So for those kids, we still continue to provide packets. But overall, I feel like we're kind of over the technological humps. And now it's just a matter of getting the kids into a steady routine. A lot of them are really out of routine at home, you know, not starting to do homework until much later. So just trying to get them into a routine where they're checking in with their teachers every single week, hopefully multiple times a week, and making consistent progress on coursework.
Well, that's great to hear, Lindsay. Thank you.
Absolutely. Are there any other questions?
Well, yeah, I was just wondering, you know, the ones that really have been having a problem with, because I heard this before, the technological problems, do we have, or is there one particular person that does that, or do many of the people, including teachers, work with those kids to figure out how to get those problems that they come up with handled and do?
That's a great question, Claudette. Actually, we work really hard to have all of our teachers and tutors and support staff well-versed in the software programs that we're using to support students remotely. So for the most part, most of the time, our staff is able to walk students through whatever they're having a struggle with. In the event they're not able to, we do have a CTE teacher, Raul Cortez, who is available around the clock, who is like a level 2 trainer in Google Suites. He's very technological, so he can always remote in and help students. We also have IT people, but they don't usually interact with students. Their main role is interacting with staff that's having problems. So we have a lot of support around, and obviously some staff members are just more comfortable with technology than others, so we tend to lean on those more if it's an employee who's not as comfortable with technology. But for the most part, I think everyone's pretty much able to troubleshoot with students on their caseload.
That's good to know, because I was kind of wondering about that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to number 5, action items. 5A, the board will be asked to approve the learning continuity plan for the 2020-2021 school year. Ask Lindsay again.
Okay. The learning continuity plan can be found on page 21 of the board packet. All schools must adopt a learning continuity plan by September 30th, and once approved by the school's governing board, a copy of the plan will be posted to the school's website and also submitted to the school's authorizer and county office of ed. A copy of the school's draft learning continuity plan was posted to the school's website 72 hours prior to the public hearing held during the August regular public board meeting. The website has since been updated to reflect the final learning continuity plan being presented to the board for review and approval today. The additional timeline of a public hearing and vote was intended to allow for communication of decisions that will guide how instruction will occur during the 2021 school year. This includes in-person instruction according to health guidance and distance learning while providing critical opportunities for stakeholder engagement. As a refresher, our learning continuity plan was developed with input from a variety of stakeholders, including students, parents, staff members, and community members. Stakeholders were able to provide feedback via surveys, phone calls, and parent advisory and English learner advisory meetings. Staff members were provided a forum for feedback during regularly scheduled staff meetings, as well as informal check-ins with their site leader. The plan describes how San Diego Innovation High School will provide a comprehensive distance learning plan and also describes how in-person instruction will be safely conducted once that commences. The plan further defines what expenses are needed to continue to offer a high-quality education to all students, including stakeholder feedback. For staff stakeholder feedback, staff members mentioned needing more professional development on the Google Suite, Kami, and the student portal. Staff also needed additional hours to reach out to special populations like English learners, low-income students, and foster homeless. We also purchased special technology items to make working from home easier and more comfortable for our staff. For example, upon request, we purchased stylus drawing tablets that connect to laptops for math instruction, as well as ergonomic supplies, including computer monitors that connect to laptops to ease eye fatigue. As for students and parents, the main needs were laptops and hotspots, although that's not as much of a concern now. And they also requested more frequent personal check-ins. Students needed assistance managing their emotions, developing time management skills, and they would like more face-to-face time with their teachers. Due to this feedback, staff will provide workshops throughout the year to address social-emotional coping skills, time management, and goal setting. Also, to provide students with additional mentoring and tutoring support, the counseling and tutoring team will offer night and weekend hours, and funds will be provided for the staff who work overtime. We've also provided diapers and necessities for our HOPE students, in addition to food for our students who were in need. Does the board have any questions about the learning continuity plan at this time?
Any questions or comments from the board?
Just that we know a lot goes into that, and we continue to appreciate what you guys are doing with the plan.
Thank you so much. So at this time, I would like to ask the board to adopt our learning continuity and attendance plan.
May I hear a motion to approve action item 5A?
In effect, I'll make a motion to approve 5A.
Thank you.
Frank Cucasa, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Cucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item B. The board will be asked to approve the charter renewal petition, including the budget. Lindsay?
Yep. On page 39 is the resolution approving the submission of the San Diego Workforce Innovation High School charter renewal petition. On pages 40 through 265 of the packet include our charter renewal petition, and pages 283 through 295 cover the budget for the renewal. The current petition for Innovation High School is set to expire June 2021. We have developed a revised petition with the intent of submitting for approval on or before September 29th of this year. As a reminder, the California Ed Code requires each charter petition to contain reasonably comprehensive descriptions of each of the 15 required elements. The 15 elements as specified in Ed Code section 47605B5A-O. Number one, a description of the educational program of the school, including a description of how the charter school will inform parents about the transferability of courses to other public high schools and the eligibility of courses to meet college entrance requirements must be included in the charter petition. Number two, the measurable pupil outcomes identified for use by the school. Number three, the method by which pupils progress in meeting those pupil outcomes is to be measured. Number four, the school's governance structure, including parental involvement. Number five, the qualifications to be met by individuals employed by the school. Number six, procedures to ensure health and safety of pupils and staff. Number seven, the means by which the school will achieve a balance of racial and ethnic pupils, special education pupils, and English learner pupils that is reflective of the general population residing in the district. Number eight, admission policies and procedures. Number nine, the manner in which annual financial audits will be conducted and the manner in which audit exceptions and deficiencies will be resolved. Number 10, the procedures by which pupils may be suspended or expelled. Number 11, provisions for employee coverage under the state teacher's retirement system, the public employee's retirement system, or federal social security. Number 12, the public school alternatives for pupils residing within the district who choose not to attend charter schools. Number 13, a description of the rights of any employees of the charter of the school district upon leaving employment of the school district to work at a charter school and of any right to return to the school district after employment at a charter school. Number 14, a dispute resolution process. And number 15, the procedures to be used if the school were to be closed. Some of the updates and or additions to the current petition include, beginning on page 52 of the board packet, since we are a DAS school, DAS being a dashboard alternative school status, recent changes in state law require us to work in collaboration with Borrego Springs Unified School District to develop updated alternative metrics for the required charter renewal criteria. We agreed on including our performance on the California, on the CAS, LPAC performance, NWA MAP testing, graduation rate, and success rate. Note, the success rate is the number of students who graduate, are retained, or who rematriculate to their former school. In our case, our success rate is 87.8%. On page 65 of the board packet, you will find updated resumes to reflect current school leaders. On page 81 of the board packet, you will find an updated list of partners, including multiple WIOA partners. And this list has grown since our original petition as we continue to find more partners to serve our WIOA students. On page 86, we included a description of our trauma-resilient educational communities, otherwise known as TREC model. On page 88, we have updated the list of community members who support San Diego Innovation. We have 20 letters of support so far. I lost the page over for this one. We updated our mission and vision statement to align with the recently developed mission and vision in the WASC report. On page 91, we included the updated, page 91 is where the updated mission and vision is, On page 128, we added student profiles to describe the process and benefit of an innovation high school educational model. On page 144, we updated the plans for English learners to align with current EL program and legal requirements. Page 50, we updated the plan for students with disabilities to align with the current EL program. Page 156, we updated measurable student incomes to include updates to goals, actions, and measurable pupil outcomes for all pupils and subgroups. And on page 166, we updated the governance structure to include SB 126 updates and updated parent and community participation, as well as the roles and responsibility of the board, including the board's role in designating and appointing new board members. This is not an exhaustive list of changes made to the petition, but a highlight of some of the more significant changes. We also included our performance on the alternative metrics, as mentioned above, and here are some of the highlights. Performance on the CASP in ELA and math increased school-wide and across most subgroups. The only subgroup that did not increase in ELA or math was English learners. LPAC performance showed a modest increase for 9th and 11th graders. 10th and 12th grade performance went down very slightly. 47% of our English learners are making progress towards proficiency. The dashboard graduation rate continues to increase school-wide, including most subgroups. The only subgroup that did not show an increase in graduate for SPED students. And the information was shared with the larger team, and we will develop PLCs in alignment with our action item goals for our WASC report to address the disparities among the different subgroups who did not show improvement. So therefore, based upon the above metrics, Sandwiches has met the criteria for renewal and seeks a five-year renewal term. Beginning on page 267, I would like to draw your attention to the multi-year budget, and page 279 addresses cash flow. This is a multi-year budget from 2020 to 2021 through 2022 to 2023, in other words, 3 years. That includes revisions to LCFF and SPED funding rates and an updated ADA projection. The projection includes a conservative growth in ADA at 30 ADA per year for years 2 and 3 and a flat LCFF rate, 0 COLA, for all 3 years. With these projections, the school will end up with a positive excess revenue on all 3 years and will build up a reserve of $3.9 million by the end of year 3, which is 11.4% of the school's annual expenditures. The report shows detail of revenue and expenditures, LCFF calculations, ADA enrollment and funding rates, including supplemental and concentration portions of the LCFF funds. The school is projecting cash deferrals of state apportionments in all 3 years. The assumption is based on information recommended by the Fiscal Crisis Management Assistance Team for charter schools regarding anticipated deferrals for upcoming school years as the economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic to the state, including reduction to state income, ending of federal emergency funding, and time to recover will impact state payment of school funds. The school is taking this conservative approach in cash flow projections to assure financial health during this period. At this time, does the board have any questions about either the renewal petition or the budget?
Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5B?
Right back, I'll make a motion to approve action item 5B.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I second that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item C. The board will be asked to approve the amended bylaws for Western Educational Corporation. Lindsay?
All right. Sorry. Everything's me. You guys are going to be sick of my voice by the end of this. We only have 2 more to go. Please turn to page 283. At the request of our authorizer, Borrego Springs Unified, the amended and restated bylaw changes include the removal of the sole statutory member and updates for legal requirements for charter schools. At this time, I'd like to introduce Greg Bordeaux to review and discuss the changes with the board.
Thank you, Lindsay. Hello, everybody. As you know, the bylaws of this corporation are the rules of the road for how we operate. They explain our governance structure and different activities that you as a board are required to take or obligations to adhere to with respect to the operations of the organization. The changes that are being proposed in the bylaws are consistent with what we have come before you from time to time to do over the years, which is to update bylaws to be consistent with current circumstances, and particularly with respect to legislation that has been passed during the intervening period of time. The types of changes that are being proposed for the bylaws today fall into essentially 2 categories. One is the removal of the sole member EAC, and the second is some general updates to ensure that the bylaws are expressly consistent with current legislation. With respect to the sole member issue, as Lindsay pointed out, the authorizer has requested that we depart from the sole member structure and that we no longer have a sole member of the corporation. We started using sole members as a component of charter school governance about 20 years ago, and I won't bore you with all the reasons why back then that structure made a lot of sense because of the way that the laws were structured for charter schools. But as they have evolved over time, the purposes for having a sole member have somewhat dissipated, and authorizers, as reflected by this request, have come to prefer that the schools, the charter schools, have more simplified governance structures. And so these bylaws essentially provide for there to no longer be a sole member, and the responsibilities that the sole member previously had will now be responsibilities of this board. So whereas the sole member previously had the responsibility to appoint and remove board members, you will now be what is called a self-perpetuating board, which means that in the event that there is a resignation or a removal or for some other reason a vacancy in with respect to a board member, it will be your job to vote to replace that board member or, if appropriate, to remove a board member. In those instances in which there is a vacancy, then the proposed or nominees for replacement will come to you from a variety of sources. It's always our desire that the board reflect the community in which we serve, and so suggestions for replacement board members can come from our community partners, from authorizers, from other folks in the community that we deal with through our educational programming. And when that happens, you'll have an opportunity to review the background of those people and to vote on their service on the board. With respect to the second category of changes, these are really just refinements of the bylaws to more expressly state that we comply with a number of legislative requirements governing charter schools, which include the Brown Act, the Political Reform Act, and Government Code Section 1090. The Brown Act, as you know, is the open meeting law, which requires a meeting such as this be open to the public. And And the other sections that I referenced are essentially those that are designed to prevent conflicts of interest, and that we will adhere to the policies and the rules of the road as it pertains to conflicts of interest. And these are all things which we have been doing for as long as we've been around, quite frankly. We've always adhered to these types of practices, whether they be in spirit or because they are now expressly by law required of the organization to be adhered to. So what we're really doing is saying to our authorizer now, lest you have any doubt about the fact that we comply with these laws, we are saying in our bylaws that we, in fact, do so. Can I answer any questions with respect to the bylaws? And I'll just note for the minutes that I believe these were provided to the board for direct review. But if there's any questions from your review of the document or my presentation here, I'd be happy to answer any of those questions.
Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5C?
Right, Beck, I'll make a motion to approve action item 5C.
Thank you.
Frank Sucasa, I second that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Sucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item D, the board will be asked to approve the conflict of interest policy for Western Educational Corporation. And that's Lindsay again.
Yes, on page 297, we have updated our conflict of interest policy to ensure it meets the current requirements applicable to charter schools. And now I'd like to once again introduce Greg Bordeaux so he may share some information regarding these updates.
And thank you again, Lindsay. Consistent with the comments I made a few moments ago about updating our bylaws, we as legal counsel to the corporation, always make sure that our policies and procedures are in line with current law and best practices. We do that, of course, obviously, by always being aware of what the law provides, but also because of our involvement in the larger charter school and educational community, we are exposed to the policies and procedures that other organizations use that sometimes will help inform us of best practices. So as part of that ongoing periodic review, we have taken steps to update the conflict of interest policy for this organization to ensure that it contains the most up-to-date language that is typically found in such policies, and to make sure that it remains completely consistent with the language of legislation that since the last time we updated the conflict of interest policy may have been passed. And really the moral of the story of this conflict of interest policy is that first, as board members, it's important that you all do review and understand the contents of the policy, but that after, as time goes by, that you keep in mind that any time that you think that there may be any potential for a conflict of interest, whether it's just completely inadvertent, a change of circumstances, the company starts doing business with an entity that you, you know, a company that you know, and again, can be completely unintentional and inadvertent, but sometimes these things arise. And any time that you as board members have any sort of concern or inkling that anything that you're doing or that the organization is doing that could give rise to a conflict of interest, disclose, disclose, disclose. There are always ways for us to address these things without any significant repercussions or problems, but we have to know about them in advance in order to be able to do that and to make sure that we are being fully protective of the organization, but also you as board members. So if you have any questions at any time, whether something presents what could potentially be seen as a conflict of interest, even if you're completely wrong and it turns out that there was nothing to be concerned about, we nonetheless still urge you to reach out to Mr. Thompson's office or me or staff or the officers, and we will be sure to address any of those concerns that you have and make sure that we keep everybody on the straight and narrow. So with that, can I answer any questions about the updated policy?
Any questions or comments from the board?
Just glad, this is Claudette, just glad that we do have someone that we can call if we do have a question, and it's really good that we do have training every year to help us with this also, so thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5D.
I'll make a motion to approve action item 5D.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Moving on to item 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. You know, in this era of negativity and this constant grinding on us, it is so delightful. I want to thank Superintendent Lindsay Reese for the report that she gave on San Diego Workforce Innovation High School's positive position. Lindsay, thank you so much. And listening to you and those students that you report on, I'm delighted to be where I am. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff, as am I. We were all, it was really powerful last week. I have to say, I am so proud of the work that we do and the kids that we serve and the passion that our team has for these kids. It just, it was really a great experience.
Yeah, you definitely look good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Vincent?
Yes, I'd just like to acknowledge Lindsay, our area superintendent, and the board for your increasing demands that are placed upon you with new regulation, with COVID, with all of these things. You're keeping pace. You're continuing to serve and support both the board and Lindsay. And it's just an honor to see with the increased demands that are upon you and your service to the children that the children are still being served. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Any board members' observations and comments?
Sorry, Michael. I just wanted to also congratulate Lindsay and her staff on the work and effort put forth on the charter petition. It's a tremendous amount of work here, and it's just a great job done. So well done.
And I will ditto that. For sure. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you. Thank you to all of the various team members who helped put this together. It's definitely, it takes a village to put together a document as comprehensive as our petition.
Yes, it does.
Thank you. Any other comments? If not, I'll hear a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Right, Beck, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Frank Lucasa, I second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Mike Gladys is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. We are adjourned.